Chapter 5. I do not recall where I went after I left the Andrades, nor can I remember how much time had passed. But one warm summer afternoon, when I was 5, I found myself in a car with Patty Southworth, my latest social worker. We drove for a while before the car pulled up to a curb. She shut off the car, turned to me, and said, "Now, Steve, we are going to visit the Robinson family. I think you are going to like this place." "Will this be a real home with a real daddy?" I asked. "We'll see," Patty said, stepping out of the vehicle. I yearned for a new home, a place where the family actually wanted to keep me. I also wanted to know about my original family, particularly my mother. Where was she? When was she coming to get me? The myriad social workers responsible for my case knew the answer, but they never told me. Several mentioned in my case file that I still felt a strong emotional connection to my family. One observed that, despite my quiet demeanor, I had some very deep thoughts about my future. I stepped out of the car and gazed up at the largest building I had ever seen. It was white with green trim on the outside. It seemed to stretch up forever. An iron fence surrounded the house, and a screened-in porch wrapped around the first level. We walked up a small flight of cement stairs. Patty rapped on the white door and was greeted by a sweet, melodic voice. "Come in." We walked into a very small kitchen and then into a larger room. Standing there to greet us was Betty Robinson, a short, heavy-set, caramel-brown-complexioned African-American woman with big brown eyes, perfect teeth, and a blinding smile that warmed my soul. "What is your name?" Betty asked, bending down so that she was near eye level with me. "Steve." "Now, that is a nice name," she said, stepping back. I said nothing to this, but inside I was glowing. "Do you like toys?" Betty asked. I nodded my head yes, and Betty, who never seemed to stop smiling, pointed me to a plastic set of cowboys and Indians laid out on the carpet. I bent down and began playing while Patty sat in a chair opposite Betty. They talked in quiet tones. My ears perked up when I heard Patty say, "Still asks a lot about his mother. Not ready to tell him about that yet." I pretended not to hear and continued to play. Then a man strode into the living room. He was a big bear of a man with a long mustache that went down to his chin. He was dressed all in blue, including his hat. He walked over to Betty and pecked her on the cheek. "Having a good day at work, Willie?" she asked. "Same as usual," he said in a deep voice. He nodded at me. "So who is this?" "This is Steve," Betty said, "although I like Stevie better." She winked at me, and again I glowed. "Well, does he like basketball?" Willie asked, pulling out a small red ball from behind his back. He showed me how to dribble the ball. I'm not sure what amazed me more, watching the ball bounce up and down in perfect rhythm, or his enormous paint-flecked hands that nearly engulfed the ball. A few minutes later, Willie announced that he had to go back to work. Before leaving, he leaned over to shake my hand. I watched my little hand disappear into his. "Nice to meet you," he said. He walked away, but then, pausing in the doorway, he said, "By the way, you can keep that." His finger pointed at the red ball that I hadn't stopped bouncing since he first showed me how. A short time later, Patty told me that it was time to go. As we were walking out the door, Betty stopped me. "Would you like a cookie?" she asked. I bobbed my head yes. She handed me two small...